स्मरन्त्योऽङ्ग विह्मोयन्ति वीर वीरहौत्कण्ठ्य विह्वलः मयि आय तः दे प्रेयसाम of all objects of endearment, Prishthe, the most dear, Durasthe, being far away, Gokulastriyaha, the women of Gokul, Smarantyaha, remembering, Anga, dear Uddhav, Vimohiyanti, become stunned. Viraha, of separation. Outkanthya, by the anxiety. Vihvalaha, overwhelmed. Translation. My dear Uddhav, for those women of Gokul, I am the most cherished object of love. Thus, when they remember me, who am so far away, they are overwhelmed by the anxiety of separation. Whatever is dear to us becomes an object of our possessiveness. This is the purport. Ultimately, the most dear object is our very soul or our self. Thus, things in a favorable relationship to our self also become dear to us, and we try to possess them. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, among countless millions of such dear things, Sri Krishna is the most dear of all, even dearer than one's own self. The gopis had realized this fact, and thus they were stunned in separation from the Lord because of their intense love for Him. Although they would have given up their lives, they were kept alive by the Lord's transcendental potency. Om Ajnaniti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshunur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padal Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। सो I beg the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So we are reading from one of the very important chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It has already been described that this is in the middle of the 10th canto. So it's very important, and it's a precursor, a harbinger for the appearance of Lord Shri Krishna as Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the age of Kali Yuga. So this is the chapter which forebodes the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So here in this translation, it is explained, my dear Uddhav, for those women of Gokul, I, as Krishna is speaking this to Uddhav, I am the most cherished object of love. Thus, when they remember me, who am so far away, they are overwhelmed by the anxiety of separation. So, we know that Lord Krishna, he left Vrindavan at the age of 10 and he went to Mathura. He lived there for about 13 years or so, after which he left for Dwarka. So after he left for Mathura, he didn't return. And Lord Krishna, knowing that the Brajbasis would be in so much of anxiety, as it is explained here, that they are overwhelmed by the anxiety of separation up to the point of death. So Lord Krishna knows it very well, and therefore he is making an attempt to pacify the Brajbasis by sending Uddhav as a messenger to Vrindavan. So here it is explained, I am the most cherished object of love, and when they remember me, who am so far away. Now, if you go to Google Maps and if you check for directions, if you want to go from Mathura station up to Krishna Balaram temple, you will see that the distance is 10.5 or odd kilometers. Which means that even if you walk it up. And if you walk at the speed of, say, 5 kilometers per hour, you will reach in about 2 hours. I mean, if you go by rickshaw, you will reach in about 15 minutes. Here Lord Krishna is saying, who am so far away? It's not far. What's so far in it? I mean, you can just walk it up, you know. It's not really far away. So now the question is, that why didn't the gopis or the Brajbasis go to Mathura to meet Krishna and be there with him? They could have immigrated, is it not? They could have chosen immigration, gone there, and in fact, when Krishna left Vrindavan and he killed Kamsa, and he became the prime minister. I mean, he was a Brajbasi, his own, their own person, who's now become the prime minister. They could have easily nominated a few of the Brajbasi from their constituency and requested Lord Krishna to place them in their cabinet. Why didn't you, you know, do that? And they could have chosen immigration, live in Mathura with Krishna. That sounds so simple, is it not? It's not so complicated. They could have done that. But still they didn't choose that. They didn't choose immigration. In fact, they chose separation. And why did they do that? Because they didn't like the mood of Krishna as he is in Vrindavan. I'm sorry, in Mathura. That's very regal and very opulent. Too much of Aishwarya. There's no sweetness in it. So therefore you see that the gopis in this pastime are representing their affection, their attraction for Krishna as he is in Vrindavan and not even in Mathura, and what to speak of when he is in Dwarka. So out of all the worship of the various incarnations of Lord Sri Krishna as Vishnu and all the incarnations as Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha and everything else, and the worship of Krishna, which is the topmost, even in that, the worship of Krishna, when he is in Vrindavan, that sweetness, that mood of Krishna is liked by gopis. And therefore, they don't like it when he is in Mathura. And they prefer it when, and they are waiting that when will Krishna come to Vrindavan as he promised and reciprocate with us. So that is a very special mood. You see, I mean, people, you know, they are in different moods when they are in certain situations. When they go to office, they are in different mood. When they are at home, they are in different mood. When they go to a club, they are in different mood. I mean, as devotees, we know when we sit on the Vyasasana, we are in a different mood. You know, when we are sitting in the ashram in different zones, we are in different moods. When we are in the Sharanagati, if you even speak loudly on a phone, people, they'll do different mood. You can't even, you know, if you are sleeping, if your alarm rings, people will smash, you know, probably your alarm. They're in a different mood altogether. Depending on which place they are in the ashram, they are in a different mood. I still remember when I was initially listening to lectures of Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and I would always see him on the Vyasasana previously when I was in Pune and things like that. So I used to always see him and hear him on the Vyasasana. I never knew how he interacted with devotees and things like that. So I always had an impression about him as being absolutely grave and very strict. And he is strict, obviously, but you know, something about his mood which I didn't have a complete idea till I actually saw him move around, talk with devotees, deal with devotees and things like that. And that gives you a complete picture of his personality, basically. Is it not? That intimacy. Because people tend to be in different moods according to the place that they are in, the role that they are playing. So also, that mood of Krishna in Vrindavan is very sweet. And therefore they choose that. You know, like for example, you know, just once when Krishna, there was a forest fire and blazing all directions. And now Krishna wanted to subjugate it. So he told the Brajbasis, told the coward friends, hey, shut your eyes now. I'm going to do something, I'm going to find a solution. So they all shut their eyes. So Lord Krishna, he drank the forest fire. Everything went into his mouth. Wow. So the Brajbasis were like, all the coward boys were closing their eyes like this. So one devotee, Mansukha, he opened his eyes like this a little bit. And he saw, oh, Krishna has gulped down the forest fire. I'm going to tell Yashoda. So he runs. So Krishna also knows that he is going to do something. Gadbad. So he runs and reaches home before this boy reaches. And he says, Mata, give me a glass of milk. So mother boils milk, gives it to him, and he's drinking. And he says, oh, what is this? It's too hot. Cool it. Mother goes and cools it. And then gives it to him. He's drinking it. Oh, Mama, Mata, it's too hot. Cool it. Takes it. Again, cools it. Brings it absolutely 3-4 times. He brings it back and brings it absolutely to room temperature. And says, if you wanted it to be so cool, why did you make me heat it up in the first place? You could have just drank it just like that. No, no, no. And then he brought it absolutely cooled and then he drank it. Thank you, Mata. And then Mansukha comes running. Mata, Mata, you know what I saw? I saw Krishna gulp down forest fire. And I said, what are you? I mean, he doesn't even drink a hot, warm glass of milk. And you are saying he gulped down forest fire. Get out from here. So, you know, that is the sweetness of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. So that is the mood where they absolutely have no awareness of the Lord's Aishwarya. Because that knowledge makes the relationship very thin. It thins the relationship, and therefore, yeah, the Brajbasis choose a separation to immigration, and that paved their path to the highest salvation. Yeah. So they didn't want anything. They didn't want to be in the practical association of Lord Krishna, you know, hovering around him. And even during Srila Prabhupada's time, there were many of his disciples who would like always to stick around and tag along him. There was this one episode where Srila Prabhupada came to San Francisco. And His Grace Jayanand Prabhu was there. And when Srila Prabhupada came, he was busy in making some, doing some services regarding the Rath Yatra issues. So everybody went to receive Srila Prabhupada at the airport. But Jayanand Prabhu didn't go there. He chose to be engaged in his service. And when Srila Prabhupada came to the temple, Jayanand Prabhu was still not there. And Prabhupada, when he saw that Jayanand Prabhu was not there, now just see, I mean, Jayanand Prabhu didn't come to see Prabhupada. Jayanand Prabhu was engaged in service. But Srila Prabhupada noticed that Jayanand Prabhu is not there, and therefore he called his disciples and he said, where is Jayanand Prabhu? Message went to him, And he said, Prabhupada is inquiring where you are. And immediately Jayanath, oh, Prabhupada is remembering me. Oh, I must immediately go. And immediately he went and he met Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very pleased and blessed him. So we see that is the move. Therefore, you see the distances between people is not measured in kilometers or miles or meters or inches or centimeters. It is measured by the number of thoughts that a person has for the person, other person. That is real proximity. Because you could be physically together, but you may be taking that person for granted. You may not even speak to him. And though you are physically together, but you are miles apart, you're poles apart. It's like being the North Pole and you being the South Pole. Hardly any communication, hardly anything. But by Krishna being in Mathura, the contemplation, the meditation in separation was so deep that they felt Krishna was right there. It was absolute. Because when the person is in front of you, he is in front of you. But when a person is not in front of you and you love him or her, then he is everywhere. Constantly meditating. And that is real union actually. It is the thought that matters. And not so much about being together, you know. So many people today, I mean, so many people, you know, congregation people know that I crack jokes on sometimes, you know, just to lighten things up a little bit. People keep sending me, you know, keep telling me also some jokes. One husband tells the wife that, you know, have a nice day. And she's going to the office, have a nice day. The wife says, don't tell me what I should be doing. Sometimes it may happen even with devotees. Hari Bol, Prabhu, don't instruct me. Instruction in Hari Bol also. No? You're telling somebody, Hari Bol, hey, why are you telling me what I should be doing? Mind your own business. If I want, I will tell. Say Hare Krishna if you want. So you see, being together is not always love. Not necessary. It could be like two ships sailing in the ocean. In a wide, wide ocean. And they don't know that they exist in that ocean. Both are going to the same destination, but they don't know. So, is that really love? So, love means the thought. It's the thought that matters. And that is why Shri Krishna, in order to deepen the meditation of the Brajapasis, he chose to be separate, even though he promised the Brajapasis that I will come back, but he chose to be separate. And the Brajapasis also knowing and having the hope that Krishna will come because he made that promise, they chose to be in Vrindavan. And when Uddhav, now I'll just give you a preview, Uddhav goes to Vrindavan and he sees the Brajbasis who are in utter, utter anxiety, desperation, despondency. They were emaciated, they had not eaten, they had not slept, they had not drunk. Radharani's complexion, which was golden, had become blackish. And they were not knowing whether they were, it was day, it was night. And in fact, this chapter is there is a chapter which comes later, the Bhramar Geet, where Radharani, when Uddhav comes with the message, at that time, entering into a rapture of contemplation, on Shri Krishna, Radharani goes into deep meditation and she considers the bee to be a messenger of Lord Krishna and he starts speaking to the bee. She starts speaking to the trees, she starts speaking to the animals, she starts speaking to the stones. Symptoms of madness, symptoms of disease and anxiety and sadness. And when Uddhav saw this practically from with his own eyes. He realized that they were on the highest state of consciousness. And therefore, in this chapter, the letter which he brings to the Brajbasis and the emotions that it awakens in the hearts of the Brajbasis constitute, represent the highest state of consciousness as depicted in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. And Uddhav is known to be a counselor. He is known to be the one of the greatest devotees. He was with Krishna all throughout, and in fact even in Dwarka he was there with Krishna all throughout, constant association. And therefore, in one sense, a sense of pride that yes, I am dear to Krishna, I am also a devotee of Krishna. But when he saw the Brajbasis in that state, he realized that they are on a far, 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 far exalted state than I am myself. And therefore he prays in the section which will come later, he prays to be born as a blade of grass. And if you are going around Govardhan Parikrama, you come across Uddhav Kund, where he is present as a Gulmalata. So that is the affection that the Brajbasis have, the intense absorption that they were in. And we may not understand it, that how this kind of, this state of consciousness could be happiness, is it not? Because Lord Krishna, in the previous verse, it is explained as Arati Haro. Arati Haro. Hari, which means that he takes away the misery of his devotees. And so he sends Uddhav to pacify them. But actually, they were not in any misery. It is not material, it is spiritual, completely. And it was not misery. Now, we may think that how could, that generally I couldn't, especially I couldn't figure out how this could be. I mean, it didn't really appeal to me. And in fact, it cannot appeal to anybody who doesn't have a clue of what spiritual life is, spiritual bliss is. How in bliss you could be in anxiety. And in bliss you can be happy also. Both are possible in bliss. No emotion is forbidden in spiritual bliss. But we cannot understand how crying can be happy. We've heard that crying, you know, sometimes when you're happy you cry. But that's all. We don't know anything more than that. At least I don't know. You know, just like a man, you know, who sees, maybe he's fractured his bones and he's lying in the hospital with fracture around and every movement is painful. Every moment is painful. And then he's been in that state for 6 months. Fracture complete. He can't move. 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. He's in severe fracture. And he can't move. So he gets conditioned. And he starts associating movement with pain. If he moves, he experiences pain. So he starts associating pain with movement. And when he looks at people moving around, he may think how painful it is now, how much suffering they may be experiencing. Little does he realize that that is the natural state actually. We may get conditioned like that. And therefore, in a conditioned state, we cannot understand that how these people are in the highest state of consciousness, experiencing the highest happiness, highest bliss, that they don't want to compromise with what they have. In fact, there are Babajis who pray that, who got the personal association of the Radha and Krishna, praying that, Radha Krishna, I'm still unhappy. So why are you unhappy? I'm praying for the day when you will go away from me. He says, why? Why are you praying for that? I said, because so that I can experience your separation. Because the pleasure, the bliss that is there in separation is not there in the union. And therefore, when Uddhav, he brings the message to Sri Krishna, and Krishna hears about it, and he remembers it, and Uddhav gives a promise to the Brajbasis that I will bring Krishna. Krishna tells Uddhav, that when you go, you take my chariot. I'm just giving a preview now what is happening. Is that he says, you bring my chariot in which I left Vrindavan, go in the same chariot. You wear the same dhoti, the same Vaijayanti mala, because in many ways Uddhav actually looked like Krishna. So you dress up just like me and you go. And seeing you, they will be reminded of me. And Uddhav goes and he sees Nanda Baba, he sees Yashoda, he sees the gopis, he sees the coward boys, he sees Radharani, and he's blown. And he comes back and he promises them, I will bring Krishna. I promise you, I will bring Krishna. And he comes to Krishna. And he says, you promised them. You should go and meet them. Their situation is terrible. Their situation is deplorable. Their situation is pathetic. You must go. You must meet them. And the chapter which is not there in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's there in Garga Samhita. You could read it. Canto 5, chapter 19. Krishna, Shri Krishna Gamanotsava. That when Krishna actually immediately takes Uddhav and goes to Vrindavan and meets the Brajbasis, meets Nanda Maharaj, meets Yashoda, meets the coward boys, and meets Radharani, and he pacifies them. And it's a Utsava, Krishna Gamanotsava. It's a big festival. All of them, they are so happy to meet Shri Krishna. So, that way. And then the story goes that how Shri Krishna, he is with, he meets Nanda Baba, he meets Yashoda, he meets the gopas, gopis, and there are hundreds of groups of gopis. Hundreds of groups of gopis. And he meets Radharani. And he does Ras Leela. That's also mentioned. It's there in the Shastras, Garga Samhita. So then he does Ras Leela. And then he goes separately with Radharani into a place called as Mount Rohit on the banks of Deva Sarovar, where he has an intimate time with Radharani and they're exchanging sweet words. Radharani is explaining, why didn't you come? Why didn't you come to meet us? You promised that you would come. We cannot live without you, your separation. And Krishna tells a lot of philosophy, but it was not accepted by the gopis. Rasankhya and all those yoga and things like that. You should think of me beyond the modes of nature. I am Paramatma, I am everywhere. I cannot be separated. That's true. As Paramatma, he belongs to everybody. But as Bhagavan, he belongs only to his devotees. So, therefore, it was not accepted, that philosophy. So Krishna says that I am close to you always. I am never separated from you. In fact, to think that we are separate is an illusion. And he gives all these examples, that all the 10 incarnations, whenever all the 10 incarnations came, when I came as Ram, you were Sita, when I came this, when I was that, you were always with me. You were never separated. So like that. And Krishna, when he personally sees Radharani's emotions, at that time he realizes that the feeling which Radharani is experiencing, the joy, the bliss that she is in, is a million times more than what Krishna experiences in receiving that love and that service from his devotees. And it is at that time that he thinks in his mind that I want to experience that sweetness. What is it that Radharani is experiencing? That separation. And therefore he makes up his mind to take shelter of Radharani and appear. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladhini Shaktir Asmad Ekat Manav Api Bhuvi Pura Deha Bhedam Gatautau Chaitanyakhyam Prakadam Adhuna Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Swalitam Naumi Krishna Swarupam. So that one Supreme Lord, Ekatmano Api Bhuvi Pura Deha Bhedam Gatautau. So when the Supreme Lord decides to enjoy, at that time that one Supreme Lord becomes two as Radha. Krishna becomes two as Krishna and Radha. And then as Lord Chaitanya, those two becomes again one. Radha Bhava Suvalitam, when Radharani gives shelter to Sri Krishna. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's Krishna himself, gets a glimpse of what it is to experience Krishna Bhakti. And he comes down with Radha Bhava Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. And not only does he come personally, but he is giving, he is distributing that Madhurya. Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunaya Avatiranah Kalau Samarpayutam Unnatojvala Rasa Swabhakti Shriyam. So that Unnatojvala Rasa, that so many rasas, Shanti, Adasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, and in that Madhurya, that love which Radharani experiences for Krishna, that Madhurya, that conjugal love, he has come to distribute. So therefore, that is the precursor, as it is harbinging the descent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Adhyaya. And we can see that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leelas, that how he goes into the same kind of ecstasy on seeing the bees and things like that. That's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, these are high topics. And we can see anyway, that story goes that Radharani is sitting with Lord Sri Krishna. And there's a very interesting episode actually. At that time, Radharani happens to see a rishi known as Ribhu Rishi, who's sitting on that mountain with his hands raised in tapasya for 66,000 years. 66,000 years without food and without water. Tapasya. And Radharani sees, just see, he's your devotee. So Krishna looks at him, and he was meditating on the Supreme Lord as Paramatma, as Shyam Sundar within his heart. And at that time Lord Krishna looks at him, and Krishna within his heart as Paramatma Shyam Sundar vanishes from his heart. And the yogi becomes very disturbed on seeing that his meditation has broken, and he opens his eyes and he sees Radha and Krishna. And he goes into ecstasy. He comes down from his meditation, falls at the feet of Lord Sri Krishna and Radha, and glorifies them with sweet, wonderful verses. And Krishna blesses him. And he had become so emaciated, he had become so weak by his austerities, that thinking of the Lord, glorifying the Supreme Lord, he falls down dead, and his soul appears as a dazzling light and enters into the body of Sri Krishna, and he comes again out from the lotus feet of Sri Krishna in a beautiful, dazzling spiritual form similar to Sri Krishna, and he puts him on a chariot and sends him to Golok. So such are the sweet pastimes of Krishna, who comes back to Vrindavan and gives joy to his devotees. And that is very sweet, you know, and goes back like that. So these are very exalted states of consciousness, and it is not possible to attain these levels of consciousness by doing sadhana. Therefore Krishna tells Uddhav, na sadhayati mam yogo, na sankhyam dharma uddhava, na swadhyayas tapastyago, yata bhaktir mamurjata. Uddhav, know this, that devotion for me cannot be attained simply, na sadhayati mam yogo, not simply by sitting in meditation and doing dhyana and all those asanas, na sankhyam, not by analytical study, na swadhyayas, not by memorizing too many verses and things like that, na swadhyayas tapastyago, not by any austerities, not by renunciation, yata bhaktir mamurjita, but by that devotion, simply that devotion. And Krishna consciousness is very simple actually. The Brajbasis are very simple people. They are not very complicated. And you see, I mean, it's like that. Simple for the simple. Be unnecessarily complicated. At least I can speak for myself. Very simple. And that's why Krishna consciousness is so simple, you can miss it, Prabhupada said. Very simple. That's why sometimes I think, you know, sometimes I feel Krishna consciousness is like hanging coupon on the drying line. Hang a coupon. Very simple. But it's still so difficult. Every time you tend to drop it.
I just cannot manage to do it. Somebody just gets lost in all those clothes and you try to take it out where it top, it's gone. But somehow I just can't manage to figure it out. Sometimes it's so simple, you don't tend to give importance to it. You don't try to be careful, you know. And I love the example which Maharaj gives. It's like this, you know, you shave and it's so simple. You get a hang of it, how to shave. But even after 20 years of shaving, if you're not careful, you cut. That's how it is. You tend to take it for granted when it is too simple. And that is the problem. Very simple. Simple for the simple. Complicated for the complicated. And all it requires is just simple hearted. The Brajbasis were in that mode. They were not behind Krishna's opulence. They were not behind dollars. They didn't want to earn in dollars. Or they didn't want to become a scholar. Or they didn't want follower. No dollar, no scholar, no follower. These three things, no. All they wanted was devotion. You know, it's an interesting episode which is there in Mahabharata. After the war, Ashwathama, Duryodhana was lying about to die when Bhima had broken his thighs. At that time he was lying there. And Ashwathama, Krip, and another one personality. I don't remember this person. So three people were alive at that time. Ashwathama, Kripacharya, and one more person. What is that? Kritavarma. So they were there. And Ashwathama is Brahmin, Dronacharya's son. He comes to Duryodhan and he says, "Oh, Duryodhan, oh, you're dying." And Duryodhan says, "I anoint you as the commander." And he was the last commander, only of three, army of three. Everybody was killed. That was the ahankar, the ego. He anoints Ashwathama even at that time before he dies. Three people army, that's all. Bhishma was a commander in chief for 10 days. He was killed, not killed, he was felled. Then Dronacharya became the commander in chief. He fought for 5 days, he was killed. Then Karna became the commander in chief for around 2 days, 2.5 days. He was killed, and all were killed. If you see, all were killed in stealth mode. You know, Krishna made them cheat. Dronacharya was killed, Shikhandi was put in front. He was cheated. Dronacharya was killed, Ashwathama is dead, Ashwathama is dead, Ashwathama is dead. He was cheated, he left his bow, he was killed. Then Karna, he got off his chariot, Krishna said, Arjun, kill him. He was killed. And then finally, Shalya, very cool person. Shalya, he was actually Madri's brother. Madri is the mother of Nakul and Sahadev. So he came from Madhya Desh. And he came to support Yudhishthir. And he thought, I'll fight on the side of Yudhishthir. But, you know, Duryodhan tricks him. He gives him all those facilities on the way from Madhya Desh, somewhere in Pakistan. He's coming from there. And on the way, he receives a lot of... So he's coming and there's a lot of camps there and a lot of reception. Wonderful facilities. So Shalya thought, this is Yudhishthir's camp. So he says, whoever has made this wonderful facility, I will fight for them. He thought it is Yudhishthir's. Duryodhan comes, pops up in front of him and says, it's me, it's me, it's me. What do you... So Shalya, he says, okay, I've given my vow. Kshatriyas, they had their word. These days it's opposite, yeah? You say something, do something. Shalya, he said it. He said, all right, what to do? And he goes to Yudhishthir and he says, I'm sorry. I beg at your feet, please forgive me. But I've chosen, I've given my word. Yudhishthir says, no problem. So if you have to do it, do it. And it seems Shalya, he had this one kind of special power that when he's angry, his strength increases. And he's a very cool person. That's why he can also be a charioteer. He was a very good charioteer. And therefore Karna told Shalya, you be my charioteer for the last day. So Yudhishthir, when he came to him, he said, okay, you are fighting on their side, but make sure that you will discourage them, you will not encourage them. And Shalya said, okay, I will do. So therefore, when he was doing the charioteer for Karna, he used to always say, hey, Karna, you know who's standing there? He's Arjun. For God's sake, please, you better hold on to your bow tightly, or they'll fall off out of here. And always such kind of comments. And he would, Shalya would psych him like anything, and would discourage him like anything. And even when he was shooting that arrow, that whatever arrow that was, that Nagastra, so Shalya said, shoot on his chest, otherwise you'll miss him. Make sure, I mean, you cannot aim also probably, shoot on his chest. So he said, shoot on his chest. I will shoot on his head, what do you think I will show? And he shoots on his head, and Krishna steps on the chariot, and the chariot goes down and hits on his helmet. And Arjun was saved. Shalya always discouraged. So after Shalya, but anyway he fought nicely, he developed a lot of respect for Karna, for what he did. And then he became the commander-in-chief, last commander-in-chief after Karna. And he fought. And he had his power. A very cool person. And his, so therefore Krishna said, okay, who will fight with him? Now if he gets angry, he will become powerful. So Yudhishthir, you are very cool, super cool. So you fight with him. So Yudhishthir is also very cool. When he's fighting, he's cool. I don't understand how he's cool when fighting also. But he fought with Shalya and he killed him. That was the end. So anyway, the story was something else. I've got into something else. But actually, I was speaking about Ashwatthama. That Ashwatthama, he was a commander. He was made the commander in chief, and he said, Duryodhan, I will make sure that I will get. What do you want? He says, I want the heads of the Pandavas. Oh, I will get. I vow to you, I will get. And he goes into the tent. Dushtadyumna is sleeping along with the five sons of Pandavas, and he slaughters them while in his sleep. And he runs away for his life, takes shelter of Vedavyasa. And at that time, Kunti, Draupadi comes there along with the Pandavas and sees the horrific sight. And Kunti makes a vow, I want the dead body of Ashwatthama. I take a vow, do not move from here till you get his head. Bhim, you are the one of the brothers who has always supported me. Yudhishthir is always cool. I don't know what he's made up of. He's Dharmaraj. He never kind of gets angry. But you should go and avenge. And Bhima, he says, I will get his head. And he sits on the chariot and he goes. When he's going, Krishna tells Arjun that, Arjun, do you know Ashwatthama? He had once come to me in Dwarka to meet me. He says, Acha, so why did he come? He came to me. I asked him, why have you come? How can I help you? So he said, look, I have this Brahmastra, Brahmashira. I want to exchange it with your Sudarshan Chakra. So Lord Krishna said, you take the Sudarshan Chakra. I don't want your Brahmastra. You keep it. Here it is next to me. Take it if you can. So Ashwatthama comes and tries to pick it up. He couldn't even budge it. Leave aside taking it to wherever he is from. And he was humbled and he told, and Krishna said, so why do you want the Sudarshan Chakra, by the way? So he said, no, actually I wanted Sudarshan Chakra so that I can fight with you and I can defeat you and become the supreme. Hare Krishna. So Arjun, so you know he has a Brahmastra, and that is his mentality, very crooked, even though he is a Brahmin. And therefore beware. Bhishma does not know how to counteract the Brahmastra, therefore you go. And Arjun immediately sits on the Rath. Krishna sits, takes the chariot and overtakes Bhima, and both of them reach there. And at that time, you know, then that story goes on. He takes shelter of Vedavyas and all the rishis in order to protect himself. And then when he sees them, he releases the Brahmastra, and that goes and hits Uttara's womb, Parikshit. So anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that we have to be above this desire for dollar, follower, scholar. Only then we can actually get
The spiritual power. That is important. And that only comes through blessings. If we get blessings of the Lord, blessings of His devotees, we have to do things in such a way, somehow or another, such that devotees are pleased. And that is how we can get. Not simply by chanting Hare Krishna, we can get Krishna prema. That is explained. That simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you cannot get. Bahu janme yadi kare shravana kirtan, tabhyuto na paye Krishna prema dhan. Many, many lifetimes you chant Hare Krishna, still you will not get Krishna prema. Many, many lifetimes you sit and hear Bhagavad Katha, you will not get Krishna prema. Of course, it is important to sit Bhagavad Katha, for Bhagavad, it's important, and stay awake also in Bhagavad Katha. It's important to say these things, but still on a higher level it is explained, one should stop offending devotees. And only then, because of the offenses, we can't realize the sweetness of the holy name. So that is the essence. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande.